take your Bibles, turn to the book of Jude, and we'll read the first five verses together, verses 1 through 5. The book of Jude, verses 1 through 5. Right before the book of Revelations, the last book of the Bible. Jude, verses 1 through 5. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's finish under verse 5 together. Ready? I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you do for us here. Lord, thank you that when we come here, we just expect your presence. Lord, we expect that because we ask you for it over and over and over again. Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight. Lord, help him as he tries to help us keep things going for many generations to come. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I'm going to get right to it. I think the sermon, though we will not go past our normal time, I think the sermon will be packed full of information. I want you to listen to it very carefully. I call this sermon, How and When to Contend for the Faith. How and when to contend for the faith. A moment ago, you read from the book of Jude, and so you know that's not the book of Hey Jude. The book of Jude, in verses 1 through 5, you finally arrived at verse number 3, and that is where I get my sermon this evening. The Bible says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The Bible gives us orders here that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. God's telling us as Christians there are some things for which we should fight. In verse number 4, he tells us why we should fight for the faith. He said in verse 3, earnestly contend for the faith. In verse 4, he says this. He tells us why we may have to fight for the faith. It says, For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our only Lord Jesus Christ. He says you've got to earnestly contend for the faith because there's this possibility that someone will come in and tamper with the faith. They'll try to change the faith. Now God help us that one that tampers with it's not me or you, but look, if somebody else could tamper with it, then they're a human being, then the potential is there that I could tamper with it or you could tamper with it. So we've got to be careful that we don't tamper with the faith. But we are to contend for the faith. He even uses the word earnestly contend for the faith. What does earnestly mean? Oh, I could go into a long definition about it, but earnestly means with extra effort, on purpose, with an extra energy, contend for the faith. Now, this command is to all Christians, not just to me, as a pastor. I, as a pastor, should earnestly contend for the faith. But you, as a Christian, you should be concerned about the faith. You should be concerned about contending for the faith. Now, Let me, by way of introduction, now my introduction will be a little bit lengthy here, but you say, well, what is the faith? We've got to figure out what the faith is. I will simply give you the six parts of the faith. It's God's plan, then it's God's message, it's God's church, it's God's book, it's God's method, or methods, and God's spirit. So what's the faith? It's one faith with many ingredients. Ephesians 4:5 tells us there's one faith. Indeed, there is. But within that one faith, there are some different parts. Just like God is one God, but he's a three-part God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But he is one God. The faith is one faith, but it has six parts. God's plan, God's message, God's church, God's book, God's methods, and God's spirit. Now, what I want to do is I quickly, and this is all introduction, I want to show you what the faith is. We'll take those six parts. As a part of our introduction, I'll quickly break them down. And remember, you and I are to earnestly contend for the faith. What's the faith? That the faith is one faith with six ingredients. For instance, I said one part of the faith is God's plan. Now, what are we talking about? God's plan for salvation. Now, what was God's plan? God's plan was a virgin birth. We're to fight for the virgin birth. God's plan, this plan of salvation for man, included a virgin birth. It included the sinless life of Christ. We believe Jesus was sinless. He was perfect. We're to fight for that. Then there's the vicarious death of Christ, meaning he died in our place. There is the blood atonement of Christ. Remember, I preached a whole sermon to you one Sunday night, and we broke the word atonement down to the at-one-ment. You remember it? That blood of Christ gave us the opportunity to be at one with God again. Then the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That too is a part of the faith or God's plan. So God's plan is a virgin birth, a sinless Christ, a vicarious death, the blood atonement, and the bodily resurrection after a literal death of Jesus Christ. Now, that's God's plan to save man. If anybody gets to tinkering with that, we got to fight. We got to fight. We got to stand up and fight because that's the plan. But wait a minute. Then there is what we call the message. What's the message? That's what the gospel message. It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We use a plan of salvation here. We teach what the Bible teaches in the book of Romans. Everyone's a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. That's death and hell separated from God for all eternity. Jesus Christ paid that penalty with his death, burial, and resurrection. And then we freely choose him as Savior, ask him to forgive us of our sin, come into our heart, and be our Savior, and he does it. We call that the plan of salvation. But the message here is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, which makes salvation available to us. That's the second part of the faith. First part is God's plan. That's all about the virgin birth, the sinless life, the blood atonement. Second part, that's God's message, the message of salvation. When people mess around with the message of salvation, now we've got a problem. We've got a problem because the Bible told us to earnestly contend for the faith. And now we're seeing what the faith is. We are to fight for God's message about saving man. We're to fight for the gospel. Number three, God's church. Why God's church? Because God chose the church to get the word out about the faith. That's the vehicle that is used to transport the faith. We transport the plan. We transport that message. The church is there as a defender of the faith. The church is to teach the faith and to pass the faith along. And the church is to finance the passing of the faith along. You see, we're a local New Testament Baptist church. If you didn't notice, it says Baptist out there on that sign. We're Baptists. I'm not Baptist by choice. I'm Baptist by conviction. I believe that. Now, Matthew 16:18 says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You see, God promises protection for the church. Why? He's protecting the church because the church is protecting the faith. So far we've seen three parts of the faith. The plan, the message, and the church. Let's go on. Fourth part of the faith is the book. What book? Well, the book that contains the faith, the book that contains the message, the book that contains the faith is what teaches the King James Bible. We call it the King James Bible. It's the real McCoy. It's not one of many. It's one of a kind. We've been preaching that around here for a long time, and we're not changing now. We needed an inspired, preserved Bible. Why? We have to preserve the faith. It's got to be preserved. God told us that we are to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And God commanded that we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, it would not be fair for God to command me and you to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God unless God gave us every word. He would be an unfair God. So God has given you and I and every word Bible, and that's, I believe that is preserved, and it is in the King James Bible. But it is the book. So we're looking at the faith. What's the faith? The faith is the plan. The faith is the message. The faith is the church. The faith is the book. And then I believe the plan also includes the methods. God has methods that he uses to get his plan out, to get his message out, the things that are contained in his book, the things that his church defends and supports. He's got some methods. You say, what are those methods? One of them is soul winning. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We're to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that our Father's house might be filled. You see, one of the methods to get the faith out, one of the methods to get the message out, one of the methods to get the plan out, one of the methods that the church uses, one of the methods that the Bible teaches is soul winning. Another is preaching. There are churches that replace their preaching with drama. We'll not do that around here. Drama's not one of the methods. Now, somebody puts on a little skit. Somebody puts on, we do little dramas at our Christian school and some of our plays. I'm not against it. But that'll never take the forefront in this church, not up here on this pulpit. No, that is not the primary method. And so God said, you gotta stand firm on those methods. So what are we looking at? What is the faith? The faith is the plan. The faith is the message, the faith is the church, the faith is the book, the faith is the methods, and then finally, the sixth part is the Spirit. And that's with a capital S, the Spirit of God. You see, the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces man of God's plan and God's message, and the Holy Spirit works in God's church. The Holy Spirit does what God's book says it would do. The Holy Spirit of God never agrees with the Word of God. It's always in unison. So, what's God tell us? For the Spirit of God and the doctrine, the pure doctrine of the Spirit of God, we've got to stand up. We've got to stand our ground about that. We've got to stand our ground about that. You see some of these faith healing evangelists on TV popping people in the head and putting on a show. They're full of peanut butter. I've seen God do healing, but he doesn't do it like Benny Hinn. You say, oh, I don't like that. I've got to stand for the faith. Part of the faith is when somebody takes the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and they corrupt it. God said, earnestly contend for the faith. We've got to stand up and preach against those doctrines that are against the faith. Now I'm getting to the sermon. All of that to lay a foundation. Stay with me, and if you're a visitor today, boy, I hope you'll come back, and this evening I'll say some things you might not even understand, but I want our people to hear it. A long time ago, a very wise older man of God said to me, he said, Jeff, there's no sense in bringing in to the local New Testament church all the national fusses that preachers across the country are having with each other. He said, what in the world's the use of that? Why do that? You know, let's face it, folks. Here we all are trying to figure out how we're going to get the money to change a tire that doesn't have any tread on it. We're trying to figure out how to potty train our kids. Well, I'm not. Mine are pretty well potty trained. But you know what? We're trying to figure out how to pay our water bill. And really, it doesn't make a lot of sense to go out and look for the national battles between preachers and churches that can't get along, then bring it into the local New Testament church and dirty our drinking water. It just doesn't make sense. Now, some pastors think by doing that, that's making them a big shot, you know. They know something that their people don't know. You know, folks, I know a lot of things you don't know. But, you know, I don't think it's worth you hearing. I really don't. Well, I mean, we got something going on around here. Why would I want to let a bunch of dumb bunnies across the nation ruin the spirit of my church? I'm not real interested in that. Not real interested in that. Hey, so I personally choose not to bring that sort of stuff to you. Why should I? I don't want that to tamper with the spirit of our church. I think this. I think as a congregation, as a people, I don't think I really want us to do that. You say, well, I heard about this, Brother Owens. Well, just stick it under your hat and leave it there, but don't spread around. Really, that has nothing to do with the revival we're having here. I think this. I think we have, as we send Bible college students off to Bible college, we're going to have to be careful, because at a Bible college, there's always a hubbub of information going around, and they're all studying theology and want to be a part of what's happening. Well, sometimes all the little gossip and everything gets passed around, and they want to call home, and then mom and dad get all worried about it, and then mom and dad go tell someone, and before long, you've taken national trash and brought it here. Well, folks, this is not a trash can. It's a church. By the way, it's a church that's got one of the best spirits in the whole nation. And because of a sermon like this that I would preach to you and tell you, why would we want to bring all that here? Why would we want to bring all that here? Bible college students will have to be careful. You know what? Guest preachers need to be careful. You know something? I'm not planning on bringing guest preachers in here that come in here and tell you that Pastor Lead Bottom out in California can't get along with old Pastor Big Nose up in Maine. I don't want to bring people in here. Like, I want to bring people in here that are going to help us live right and do right, and that's what I want. Hey, and let me tell you something that I do, so you know. I try to represent you well as I travel the nation. You'll find out. I'm not a part of the national gossip circuit. I'm not on the internet every moment of every day trying to figure out what's wrong with everybody. I'm not snooping in everybody's business. I don't do that. And when I go around preach, you can ask any church here. There are two or three churches from across the country represented here tonight. Those people could testify and tell you, when I show up their church, I show up to help their church. I don't show up to reveal, like the National Inquirer, what's wrong with the rest of the nation. I show up to help them. I show up, and if there's any defending that goes on, I defend the faith. The faith. You know, there's like virtually, folks, so you, and I really don't want you to know, but there's virtually a national gossip hotline. And some of them have your numbers. It's a funny thing, they don't call me much. I guess I'm not a big wig, you know. I'm just a little country boy, and that's okay. If I'm big enough, maybe I could get involved in all the national gossip. They just know I don't want to be. Let me show you some things, if I could. Number one, we should not hope or want anyone to step outside the faith. The faith. I don't want anybody to step outside the faith. You know, there are virtually people that rejoice if some Baptist church steps outside the faith. They rejoice over it. Well, not me. I'm going around trying to keep them from stepping outside the faith. When I spend a bit of time away from you, and as if you will, as you share my what I do, as you share it with the nation, I'm going out trying to help churches, to help pastors and churches stay within the faith. But I weep when people, churches and pastors mess up and get outside the faith. You know, to some, it virtually becomes a personal thing. And when somebody steps outside the faith, they're almost, I don't understand it, they're almost excited about it. Not me. You say, what's it really all about? The faith. The faith. You know something we need every Fundamental Baptist Church we can get? We need them. We shouldn't be rooting for them to fall. We ought to be rooting for them to stay inside the faith. We need every Fundamental Baptist preacher we can get. We need every Fundamental Baptist evangelist we can get. We need every Fundamental Baptist missionary that we can get. The faith, we've got to have them. We ought to want it. We should not hope that anybody falls. That anybody falls. Secondly, we shouldn't contend over the wrong issues. Somehow we want to contend over the wrong things. I watch churches and pastors and preachers contend over styles. A pastor called me one day. He said, "Did you see so-and-so had a picture made and he had a sweater on?" And I told him, I said, "Brother, I think that we are getting way too casual in fundamentalism. We're developing this attitude, just come as you are. I think you ought to dress up for church. I'm still for putting a tie on. I'm still for polishing your shoes. I'm still for ladies having Sunday go to meeting clothes. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to start a war over a pastor having his picture taken in a sweater." Amen. Bible doesn't say earnestly contend about sweaters. Now, I contended with my mother about one she knitted for me once. But you got to understand, that was a big issue. We want to contend about the wrong things. And some of you need to listen. You need to listen to what I'm telling you. We want to contend over personality. We're to contend for the faith, folks. For the faith. There was an evangelist, and he was a bit sissy, kind of preppy. Now me, I don't think a man ought to wiggle when he walks. I don't. I think a man ought to be a man and walk like a man and smell like a man and bark like a man and every once in a while belch like a man. You can say, "Excuse me." But I'll tell you this. I don't judge a man if he's a bit preppy that he is suddenly outside the faith. See, we get to wanting to contend over styles and personalities. We want to contend over opinions. Do you know that there's an opinion that women shouldn't color their hair? We're not going there. I'm not going to fight about that. And you men? I recommend you not either. Why? It's an opinion and hers is right. But what we do is somehow we can get this idea that we should contend. And what happens is we're fighters. You know, hey, the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, we're fighters. Let me tell you who we're fighting. We're fighting the devil. We're fighting against corrupt Bibles. We're fighting against keeping people from going to hell. We're fighting against liberalism. But what can happen is we get that fight down inside us, and we want to fight, and we want to take something off, and before long, we're punching each other over the dumbest little things. Now, we're going to have to, you know, we've got to settle some of those fights down. Now, I want us to be fighters. We're in the army of the Lord. But you got to be careful what you fight about. People want to fight again about preferences. There was a time in America, and I have my opinion about it. There was a time in America where all the men were cutting their sideburns off, and they cut them off right at the top of their ear. To me, it looked like they'd had brain surgery or something. Y'all remember back that style where they started hacking that thing off? Somebody in Hollywood started doing it, so we all followed it. You know, should you hack your sideburn off or not? You know something. I really think you ought to make your sideburn look traditionally like men have wore their sideburns, but just so you know, we don't fight over that. You say, "Well, I've got an opinion about it." Well, keep it to yourself. Because that's not worth fighting over. There are people that fight over whether your midweek service ought to be on Wednesday night or Thursday night. Ah, you're not a fundamentalist. You had a Thursday night midweek service. You know something? You can have your midweek service on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. You can do it in the morning if you want to. I'd just like for you to have a service midweek. We're to contend for the faith. You see, we're not to start major fights over minor issues. So, here's what I've said so far. We should not hope or want anyone to step outside the faith. Secondly, we should not contend over the wrong issues, things like styles and personality and opinions and preferences. Thirdly, there are those that contend over churches. Now, we're to stand for the local New Testament church, but that's not what I'm saying now. I'm talking about contending over churches. You know something? I don't attack other people's fundamental Baptist churches. I worked for Dr. Jack Hiles. I was there for almost 18 years. I never watched him attack one fundamental Baptist church ever. Ever. Fruit, the fruit-bearing trees need to be left alone so they can keep bearing fruit. I preach the faith, not against someone's church. Folks, we are an independent fundamental Baptist church. That means we're to mind our own business and they're to mind theirs. Independent. You say, Brother Owens, how should I pick a church? You better pick a church that's based, a church that believes the faith. The faith. Hey, listen, if a church leaves the faith, I'd recommend you leave the church. Because the issue is the church. It's the church. And I've told you what the faith is. You know, it's not my job to govern somebody else's church. It's not my job to watchdog somebody else's church. And it's not their job to govern my church. And it's not their job to watchdog my church. It's our responsibility to keep our church in the faith. So you know, from all indications, the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church is right smack dab center of the bullseye in the faith. That's why we have the unity and the revival that we have. I don't want somebody messing with it from the outside. I'm going to leave theirs alone. They need to leave mine alone. We're in the faith. We're an independent, fundamental Baptist church, and we're to take care of ourselves. What we need to do is make sure we stay in the center of the circle. Others outside the church should keep their nose in their business, and we should do the same. And so we're not contending with this church or that church. We contend for the faith. We fight for the truth. Number four, we're not to contend over Bible conferences. Some say, well, if you don't come to my conference, you're not a fundamentalist. What makes me a fundamentalist is not your conference. What makes me a fundamentalist is the faith. I don't have to go to anybody's conference, and I am a fundamentalist because of the faith. You're not going to bully me around. You say, based on what? That black book right there, that's what I base everything on. Not your opinion. Not at all. Not at all. The faith. This church is right with God. We're lined up with the faith, and that's how it's supposed to be. Oh, my. The conference issue. My. You know something? We have an East Coast Ladies Conference here at our church. This last year, over 130 churches came to it. But you know, if a church chose not to come to our conference, that doesn't mean that they're not a fundamentalist. We have in November a National Old Paths Conference. Well, if somebody doesn't come to our Old Paths Conference, that doesn't mean that they're not a fundamentalist. What makes them a fundamentalist? What does it mean to be a fundamentalist? You're following the fundamental guidelines of the faith. You're living by the faith. You trace yourself back to the faith. Those are the fundamental beliefs. You see, not coming to the East Coast Ladies Conference or not coming to our Old Paths Conference does not make you a liberal. Did you know something? Those that come, that doesn't make them in the faith either. There are people that can come into a conference and don't believe what they're supposed to believe, but they came to the conference. So, hey, folks, conferences don't determine whether you're right with God or not. The faith determines whether you're right with God or not. We let conferences become too important to us. What's important? The local New Testament church and what the local New Testament church does with the faith, that's what's important. You say, what's the issue about Bible conferences? The faith. How do you pick what conference you should dare attend? Find out what they believe about the faith. What do they believe about God's plan? What do they believe about the Bible? Where do they stand on the Bible? God's message, God's church, God's methods, and God's spirit. If our conferences, the ones we host here, the East Coast Ladies Conference or the Old Paths Conference, if they are true to the faith, then other fundamental churches ought to feel safe coming to our conferences. What's that mean? How do we do that? Well, if we have guest speakers, those guest speakers are correct in the faith. If we distribute books or materials, they all back the faith. They're all right with the faith. The teaching that we give, what is it? It's teaching that falls in line with the faith. So a church that's in the faith could visit a church hosting a conference in the faith if they're sure that what's going on is in the faith. The faith is the issue. It's not people. It's not my church. It's the faith. The faith. The faith. If our conference is not true to the faith, then others should just not come. And that's true for us too. The faith is the issue. And so you all know, conferences change. Churches change. There are churches that used to be in the faith that are not anymore. There are conferences that used to be in a faith. They're not anymore. Be careful with your loyalties. What's your loyalty to? To an institution or to the truth? You be flexible enough to be able to say, that institution has changed. It's nothing personal. I got to stick to the faith. Let me go on. We're not to, and I said this, we should not hope or want anyone outside the faith to fall. Or we should not want anyone to step outside the faith. Number two, we should not contend over the wrong issues. Number three, we tend to want to contend between churches, and that's not what God told us to do. Then we want to contend over Bible conferences. Fourthly, we can get contending over Christian newspapers. Remember now, the faith is the issue. Now, I don't want a Christian newspaper that is uncommitted to what? The faith. That's it. You say, well, I've just always, it doesn't matter what you've always done, it matters about the faith. I've always gotten that paper. Is that paper lining up with the faith? I don't want a paper that's uncommitted to the faith. God's plan, the King James Bible, God's message, the church, God's methods, God's spirit. You see, if they print sermons by someone who is untrue to the faith, then I'll separate from them. I don't need their paper. If I'm going to believe in a Christian newspaper, then they have to believe and boldly stand for what? The faith. That's the issue. If they leave the faith, I don't burn down the building that contains their or houses their press. I'm not going to go burn their building down, but I will cancel my subscription. And I won't promote their paper because I must stand for the faith. Is this making sense to y'all? If you'll all listen to me, I can keep our church out of the hubbub and the mudslinging and the backstabbing and the personality trash that goes on. We are to stand for the faith. And hey, look, and I don't think we're the only church that would do it, but I'll tell you this, if we're the only ones that will, I would just as well be like that. They can leave me alone, I'll leave them alone, I'll fight for the faith, I'll do what's right, but I'm not going to get into the petty, childish wars. Number six. There are other Christian ministries we tend to want to contend over. What camp should we go to? You know, summer camp, they've got all these camps out there. What determines what camp our church would ever get involved in if we choose to? The faith. Yes. Well, Brother Holmes, I got a buddy and he worked at this. I don't care where your buddy works. My question is about faith. Well, we've just always gone to this camp. I don't care. Right. I'm concerned about the faith. Well, they used to believe. I don't care what they used to believe. What do they stand for now? What am I interested in? The faith. The faith. The faith. Mission boards. What are you looking for? The faith. The faith. The Shenandoah Baptist Mission Board that we have here, it stands for the faith. Now, let me tell you something. If we ever cease to stand for the faith, I hope our missionaries will find another mission board. Well, I've got enough good sense. While I'm not a part of the corruption and trying to mask it, I hope I can tell you right now, if our church ceases to believe the faith, get you another church. If your preacher ceases to believe the faith, get you another church. If the newspaper ceases to believe the faith, get you a subscription to something else. And if it's our mission board that corrupts, then stick with the faith. With the faith. With the faith. These Christian ministries, radio ministries, the faith is the issue. Children's clubs, we use King's Kids. Why? They line up with the faith. And there are others that don't. They don't line up with the King James Bible. They don't line up with the local New Testament church. The faith, the faith, the faith. Printing ministries, the faith. Boys and girls homes, the faith. Christian schools, Wartburg Christian Academy, it's the faith. We're going to teach a lot of other things, but one thing we're going to line up with over here at Martinsburg Christian Academy is the faith. The faith. The faith. The faith. Earnestly contend for the faith. Then there's a contention over Bible colleges.